Hey, everybody. We did it.
Everybody, I was taking notes here. You caught me off guard. I was in the middle of doing some homework.
Oh, yeah. Guys, welcome to the Math Homework Helpline. We can get you through any of your trig product problems.
I'm fluent in Common Core, graphing. This isn't a bit. None of this is intended to be funny. This is just honesty here right now.
Yeah,
we do Common Core.
I still don't know what Common Core is, but we are doing it every day, every night.
I have been asked to help with homework so frequently now that like she's in advanced math, and I don't know.
Basically, you're in advanced math.
I'm in advanced math, and let me tell you, it's not going well. It's going real bad.
What are they doing? What are they covering in advanced math? Can you give us like a sample question?
I honestly can't eat. There's graphed and there's plot points, and my brain just tunes out. I have no idea besides that.
Yeah, they should get a professional person to teach her that.
Well,
did you tell her that none of it's gonna matter? She's not gonna need it because you know.
I did, and I said, just give up. I said, give up.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, guys, this is what we're about: math class talk.
Yes.
Tutoring talk, you know, this is what we do. We're going to talk homework. You guys can't be in school right now. We're going to make it feel like you're in school.
This is day 23, entering week 4 of the California lockdown, the COVID pandemic. I'm keeping track and I'm keeping score. And so far, Mega 64 is winning.
We are.
Thank God.
Nice.
Yeah, I feel like we're coming out stronger than ever because of this pandemic. I feel like things are on the up and up. People love us more now than they ever have in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the world was definitely in a fuck Mega 64 state of mind before the outbreak. And then now.
Yeah.
They were so, I like, hey, Ash, what you playing? Ooh, I like Rooster Teeth. I feel like I could be friends with all of them. Yeah. Well, where are your friends now? They fucking abandoned you.
Yeah.
We're here. We're hanging on. We're coming out on top. Now you know who your true friends are.
Exactly. Exactly. But I do want to, I don't want to, you know, peg it just one way. I want to make sure everyone is equally represented. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Rooster Teeth. They got some new programming coming out. So I want to I want to throw them a plug.
Yeah.
Let's not waste any time promoting them because they're going to need all the help they can get.
Yeah. I just can't stress it enough. You guys got to watch Rooster Teeth. They got a new show coming soon. I'm so hyped to talk about it.
What is it called?
It's crazy. called The Last Laugh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of crazy that, you know, when
I'm going to give them, hey, props. That's a good name.
Yeah.
That's a good name for a show.
I agree. You know, I just think that anything called that is just going to just fucking not rocket off to the moon, man.
Yeah.
You know, we are.
It's like fucking punk rock. It's like fucking indie. Yeah. That's like the type of show you would see in a basement somewhere in like New York City.
Yeah.
Or somewhere on the East Coast. This is fucking crazy.
Yeah, it feels.
Or LA.
Yeah, it feels. You know, if you're the kind of person that's just sitting in Philadelphia, you know, or you're going to, or you're just like a Richmond, Virginia kind of guy, and you just really want to hear something funny, you're gonna go to a show called Last Laugh, or watch a show, I should say.
Watch a show.
Anyway.
And you know what? It's crazy in that hypothetical show. It would be hilarious if there was a whole bit about Rooster Teeth trying to, you know, steal from Mega 64 some of our ideas, take some of our comedy away from us.
That would be fucking crazy.
It would be, I wouldn't recommend doing a live show like that because I just don't see that people buying that.
Yeah.
But I just think it's going to come off unrealistic. But
never happen. That would never happen.
Anyway, I just want to give a shout out. Check out The Last Laugh coming to
where you get your podcast.
You know what? Honestly,
where you get TV. Your podcast.
Just type in The Last Laugh on Google.
It's hard to remember where you would see that show.
Yeah.
We would need like a collection of, you know, showings, viewings, or something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, hell yeah! I just want to, you know, get out there and get the name out.
These fuckers, you know, these motherfuckers. They're, call it anything else. I don't know. And then,
theme song.
Fuck this. I'm a lonely horseman. Got my pistol. I'm just trying to be somebody besides the lonely horseman. Got my gun at my side. I'm just trying to be the lonely horseman.
All right. Forget that whole bit. I want to talk about something legit upsetting.
Okay. Oh, good. I've had too much good news lately, so I'm ready for some to upset me.
Yeah. Well, it's a serious time. So there's kind of, you know, this is the kind of a way we talk to each other and we kind of, you know, get these things cleared up. Okay. This egg week shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Rocco.
What is that?
Hey,
what?
Derek, take a breather for a minute. You don't need to get involved in this. You don't need
to. I want to give a strict shout out to Nintendo. Way to ruin your game. Great job on that. Killing it.
I am just
Animal Crossing thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Derek,
isn't Animal Crossing a little childish?
Derek, you might want to just take a maybe get a snack or prepare a meal or
what do you mean
something
childish?
At this point. I don't want to involve you in this.
I have so many mutuals playing online. People are going nuts over this game.
The amount of people that I know who like got it just this week.
Yeah.
I know like a handful of people that just bought it because they heard so much about it. And they started it once that event had begun.
Oh my bad God. Week to start.
And oh my God, there, I mean, I know three different people that have talked to me about it. Like, hey, I'm trying to like do this shit. I'm just getting eggs everywhere I go. Like I dig in the ground. Like I'm supposed to get iron nuggets. I'm supposed to get chop a tree and get wood. I'm supposed to get, but it's giving me fucking eggs.
I'm keep fishing and getting fucking eggs. I don't want them. I don't give a fuck about it. How do you opt out of this?
You time travel. And we've spoken earlier in the podcast previous weeks about, I think I said, fuck time traveling.
Right? Yeah.
And I still hold fast to it. But I didn't start playing this week where the game is pretty screwed up if you're trying to do the regular shit.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If you want to get through this, jump your clock ahead another week because we're only 1 week. There's a full another week of this event.
Another week of this?
No, it's going until April 12th. April 12th.
Oh.
Is that? Oh, no. I just can't think of a. What were they thinking when they were doing that?
I mean, you can't opt out of this. Besides that, like, you have to like hack your fucking Switch to get out of this hell they put you in.
I just can't understand what
it's only changing the settings.
Why
clock.
Didn't they just make this like a weekend or something and everyone gets in on this thing happening on the weekend if they want and then it's over? I don't understand 2 weeks of it. And there's not even like a payoff to this. It's eggs everywhere. And then what do you get out of it? You make egg furniture and they look like shit.
Yeah.
It's not even right? Good.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking like, well, can I sell them for a lot of money? Oh, no. Okay. Like, why is this a thing?
They do this around Christmas. They do this around all the holidays. And the Animal Crossing community who generally is grinding the game all the time, they like making all these new seasonal things and dressing up their town in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't play that way either. So, yeah, I'm like, 2 weeks is too much. Make it 1 weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's just bad timing with the release schedule and Easter being so close to it.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, it's going to be long. It's going to be
Skip
arduous
it this year.
During Christmas. there's going to be something for all the
seasonal holidays. Think about what you're saying. This is a game that's supposed to take me away from the hellhole of this world right now, and yeah. you're saying it's going to be long, it's going to be arduous.
And it's 10 times harder. Yeah, so my brother picked this game up during this last week. He's one of the people that I know, and he's, like, stumped by it. He's like, everything is giving me fucking eggs. What am I doing? Like, what am I supposed to do? He tweets this out, and people were trying to help him out, and I think that's really nice. People were genuinely being really nice, but yeah. to an outsider, like even me, I've played this a couple weeks now. I kind of get the way things go, and you know, I'm putting up with whatever. But to an outsider, to someone who has just started, the advice sounded like insane. Like it was. Yo, go into the firmware of your Switch. Change the time. Change the time right now. Yo, no, Dominic, don't play it right now. Wait 11 days. Wait 11 days. And if you'd never played this game, you'd be like, what is being asked of me right now? Like, what? It was just like this insane, you know, no, do this instead. And it was like, what? I just bought this. I don't know what you're asking me.
Wait 11 days to play your new game. That's great advice. So, but it's timing.
It was really, so whatever. It's kind of, it is, I mean, I'm playing it, but it's killed the flow of it.
Yeah.
I really wish they wouldn't have done it. That's all. But I tweeted this. I thought maybe it was secretly implanted viral marketing. Is Derek still here?
Yeah, he's like, yeah.
Derek, now I'm getting to conspiracy stuff, so you might be interested in this part. I'm done talking about fucking eggs. I think covert subliminal conspiracy that they planted, that Capcom planted that material in the game to get people at just the right time, right as Resident Evil 3 Remake came out, to go, oh, fuck this game, and they'd go buy that. Now, you may think, goofy joke, huh?
That's what I think. Yep, this is stupid.
Have you heard about the implanted material in Cooking Mama?
What?
No, what?
This news is coming out, Capcom? Or there's talk, there's a big conspiracy going on right now as of a couple hours ago.
Oh, breaking news.
That supposedly there were rumors that the Cooking Mama game was... people would know this terminology better. It's all like blockchain, like crypto stuff, but that the Cooking Mama game had something in it that was mining like Bitcoin.
What?
In the background? Debunk it? It was trending because of this, but I don't know if they debunked it or not. But it was pulled off of all it was pulled off the eShop and all this other stuff.
Like it was doing, like folding at home. Like it was basically using your system as a remote computing processor to mine for Bitcoin.
They had to make money off of Cooking Mama some way because just nobody was playing it. So,
yeah. You know, cooking was just not good enough. You know, food is just not cutting it anymore. The days of food will do for now just don't exist anymore. But. but anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's being debunked now, but that's why it was trending earlier. It was the PS4 version of the game was required to be always online, which I don't understand. Even aside from all this stuff, I don't understand why would Cooking Mama need to be always online?
Any game that needs that besides a game that is strictly online is a fucking problem. Like that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. I don't understand why would aside from all the crazy conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
Why would Cooking Mama need to be always online?
Yeah, that's not just a multiplayer game, is it? It's like a single player to this.
As far as I know. Yeah. I mean, I only played the old ones, but
I don't think it has much to do with needing to be online at all.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. But anyway, that's why that was trending. But going back to Resident Evil. So, yeah, I guess that's being debunked now, possibly, but there was a whole discussion about that now, so I don't... But
that'd
that's
be
what,
cool, though.
That's just shit that I heard about right before I went on.
That'd be smart.
Jesus. But going back to Resident Evil 3, did any of you guys get that, or have you guys played it?
Oh, hell yeah.
I knew Garrett would. Garrett was my go-to person on this.
Brian did, too. I think... Brian, did you already beat it?
Yeah, I got it and I already beat it.
Wow.
What?
It's not a long game. I mean, no. Resident Evil 3, it's a remake of the original PlayStation 1 game. And I'm about halfway through, a little more than halfway through now, and I've only been playing really like last night and this morning.
How's it look?
Resident Evil 3 is like the one Resident Evil game I never played. I know the story for 1 and 2, and I played 4 like crazy. I played 5 and a little bit of 6, but I never really touched 3. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
It's sick, man. It fills in. I love Jill's character, and this fills in like what's going on with her during the events of Resident Evil 2. It's like same kind of time frame as Resident Evil 2 is happening with Leon and Claire. All this other shit is happening around the same time with Carlos and Jill Valentine. But I'm really into how pretty the game is. This new dodge mechanic is awesome. The Nemesis is doing these new transformations that I hadn't seen yet. The redesign is like surprising me in a lot of ways. I really love the opening.
I didn't play the original and I didn't buy the new one either. So I'm not giving any kind of like review on my end or anything like that. I always knew 3 was shorter, a lot shorter because I remember reading about that it was originally not going to even be Resident Evil 3, that Code Veronica was the original Resident Evil 3, but they wanted to, there was a side game and they wanted it out quick. They wanted to have a Resident Evil 3 out quicker, so they renamed that Resident Evil 3, and that this was supposed to be a side game, whatever. Anyway, I always knew this game had been shorter, and so when all these reviews started coming out, like, I can't believe how short this is. I was like, are you guys new? This is what I heard the first time. But I will say, I watched someone play it. I watched it through a stream. I watched someone play it, and I was still kind of astonished how short it was. Because I started to hear people say, oh, it's 6 to 9 hours. And I was like, oh, I didn't know it was that short. Wow. That's what I heard, and I was kind of surprised. But then I watched someone play it, and I'm talking in one sitting. I ended up seeing the whole game. Like, whoa, I was... Really? I was
that actually
working,
makes me want to pick it up.
I was working
like
on stuff.
Everything is a 30 to 60 hour commitment right now. 6 to 9 hours. Nice. Rental.
Yeah, I was working on stuff and I put the thing on and I in one sitting. I mean, I mean like less than 5 hours. It was like, oh
wow,
the credits are rolling. I was surprised by that. So,
$60, that's a lot.
Yeah, I never like to like judge stuff by just the runtime, but I also kind of felt like I never had a chance to kind of savor anything that was going on. But again, I didn't play it. So I was just kind of surprised how quick it went by.
I would say you're also getting a online multiplayer game for your $60 as well. Resident Evil Resistance.
Okay.
Is a asymmetrical multiplayer game. It's 1-on-4. And Brian and I played it on the PPS last week and had some fun with it. And I've been playing since then. And
that sounds rad.
I'm enjoying that too.
What's the one? Are you like Nemesis?
No. Well, you're the mastermind and you control security cameras and you can implement guns and you choose where to set traps and spawn zombies, liquors.
Oh, so it's like Five Nights at Freddy's.
I don't know. I've never played that. But it reminds me of Deception, which was a trap-setting game.
You would love Five Nights at Freddy's. You should do that on the PPS.
I feel like that is a children's game, and I have no interest in playing that game on the PPS.
It'll make you shit your pants. It's so scary. I mean,
Garrett, you're playing fucking Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Animal Crossing is for a mature, sensible Nintendo fan. Five Nights at Freddy's is like Slenderman. I just like don't want to play that type of shit.
It's too scary.
Derek, I feel like Resident Evil Resistance is actually something you'd like because it's a little bit of castle defense. So you, when you're the mastermind, you have to basically keep the entire team from getting to the goal. So you're there the entire time, like setting up traps, setting up zombies and bioweapons. You don't control one character like the Freddy's.
Everything you guys are saying makes me want to play this game. It's short. It's the same time period as Resident Evil 2. There's a badass multiplayer game, asymmetric strategy elements.
Well,
really cool.
Brian and I are probably in the minority of people praising this multiplayer game.
Oh, really?
Resident Evil spin-offs.
I didn't hear very good stuff about it, to be honest. But again, I haven't played it, so whatever.
Resident Evil spin-offs have been tragically terrible in the past. And I'm sure this one isn't living up to certain expectations. But for a free throw-in, which I was already getting Resident Evil 3, and this controls, if you're the four-player team, controls just like the Resident Evil 2 remake and the Resident Evil 3 remake. Each character has its own unique kind of skill sets, which I was a big fan of Resident Evil Outbreak and Outbreak File 2. They have similarities there where your characters have different abilities depending on who you choose. The Nemesis isn't technically in it, but Mr. X from Resident Evil 2 is like deployable. When you're the mastermind and you get to be in the eyes of Mr. X and come like smashing through the level, it's pretty fun. It's like,
I have a question.
Kind of like that Friday the 13th game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do you get randomly assigned as the mastermind?
You can choose. There's three options. Okay. Teammates, mastermind, or random.
Because I pretty much only want to be mastermind, sounds like.
You'll just probably wait longer to load. But with everyone playing, because it's a new game, get online now because this weekend was bumping.
Cool.
Every time somebody brings up Mr. X, it's so funny. Because I brought up on the podcast a while ago that when we were at Comic-Con trying to get exclusives in the morning, there was a really big, bald security guy that kept trying to kick us out of line because they thought we were there too early, and we kept calling him Mr. X. We didn't know his name, but he kept stomping. Like, we would see him turn a corner and come towards us like, oh, shit, he's going to kick us out. And that's... We thought we were being funny when we called him Mr. X, and now that's the only thing I could think of. Anytime somebody brings him up, I just keep thinking of this guy at Comic-Con, and I'm like, I legit had a moment of like, is he in the game? What? I like as if he wasn't in RE2. Stupid. Anyway. Is Sean nice. Okay?
I'm sorry, I'm back. I'm back. Am I there?
Yeah, you're okay, Sean.
You tell us. Are you back? I don't know.
I'm back.
What happened, Sean? Was there an emergency?
There was not an emergency. I just bumped something and then lost my footage for a second. But I'm back. Don't worry about it. I'm okay.
Have you guys had like solid internet this last week and all that stuff? Or has it been kind of dodgy?
It's been pretty good.
Mine's been consistent with its slow speed, but it's consistent.
Rocco, you go, because I heard what happened to you. That's fucking gnarly.
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, like, I just don't know what else to do. Like, everything says it's fast internet. I have everything that's new and should be working, but nothing works. So, like, what do I do at this point?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I've heard from a lot of people who have had trouble, like, just around the country. I think it's being pretty slaughtered right now for a lot of people. At my neighborhood, I had 3 days of no internet because they started like tearing up the street and it knocked it out or something. Which, why are we really need to do like sidewalk construction right now? Like,
no one's on the sidewalks right now.
I guess that would be a good time to do it, but it knocked everyone's internet out anyway. But then after a day, our ISP was like, oh, it's fixed. It's all good now. And I'm going, no, there's no connection coming into my house. Like, there's nothing. And so I went through 2 days of them telling me it was my equipment. Oh, your router and your modem must be broken.
I hate that.
Yeah.
When they blame you and you're a tech savvy person and you're like, listen, I've power cycled it. It's the first thing you do.
Yeah. And no, we cleared the outage. At this point, that's on your equipment. So I eventually harassed them enough that someone came out, and guess what it was? Guess what it was? It was the box that my place is hooked up to, like to the outside, was completely disconnected. Like a cable was physically pulled out, and they showed up and went, okay, so what's the Oh, man. And the guy looked at it and he was like, why would someone do this?
Why this happened?
And it was like, well, they were working on stuff. So maybe, you know, someone just, you know, they disconnected it and forgot to reconnect it. And he's like, no, there's no reason to pull these cables out. We can do all this stuff digitally. We could turn it off digitally, turn them on digitally. There's no reason to ever yank this cable out. And it's like, well, did someone vandalize it? Did someone get in here? No, it's just like our, like, it's just us. It takes a special key. Yeah, yeah. I think someone was just pulling cables and didn't know what they were pulling.
We got a cable puller.
I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, man. We're going to refund your month. And I don't know. He was so depressed about it. He was going, people are just pulling cables nowadays. I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, it was just especially funny after 3 days of, yeah, your router must be broken.
I think it's like they always do the same thing to me. It's like, do you have the Cox router and modem? It's like, no. Well, yeah. That's your problem. Like, I guarantee you that's not a problem. I don't need your thing.
It was so frustrating, but it's all good now. It's all good now.
Yeah. Whenever I have to call customer service, it's always the block away. There's a box out on the sidewalk that gets wet and they have to replace a board. And it's every time I call and I'm like, yeah, same thing again. It's probably that board got wet. And they look it up and check the history and okay, yeah, well, we're going to have to send someone out. And if they have to go in your house, it's going to cost you. And I'm like, oh, I assure you it's the board down the street that got wet. Sure enough, it's like always that thing. Probably you should move that box or weatherproof it.
Yeah, weatherproofing it. Yeah, but even now, like, I try something new every day. Right now, I'm wired in. I got an Ethernet cable. It's going through a window, through my bedroom window, into my laptop right now, and it's still like shit. It's like, what do I have to do to get this not look shitty? I don't know.
Oh, so do you hooked up a cable?
Yes, it's currently. I'm not on Wi-Fi right now.
See, it's so funny because the cable should, I would think, would make the connection stronger, but I think it looked better on the Wi-Fi.
Really?
Yeah. Try it. Do a hot swap.
Try it on the Wi-Fi.
Try it on the Wi-Fi. Okay.
Let's try it on the Wi-Fi. The third thing we'll do is we'll get you to get your cell phone or maybe your wife's cell phone, put a hotspot up. We'll use her cell data, maybe. That'll be faster.
Okay, so here, let me just unplug this. 1 second. This
unplugging a cable. I guess people are just pulling out cables nowadays.
Oh, wait. Am I back?
You've always been here.
Shit. Never okay. Left. Is it better or worse?
I think it's better.
I think it's better, it's dude.
Why?
Better. So much better.
Why?
Sean, wait. I need to give some more backstory, too. Sean also replaced, he got a brand new modem, brand new router, all that stuff to enhance his connection. And all of it has been worse than ever. He went, and it's got all the latest spec, all that stuff, worse than ever. He went back and hooked up his old router 10 times better.
Like, it makes no sense.
Everything that should make sense is the reverse at Sean's house.
Life's a bitch, man, at Murphy's Law.
I don't know, guys. I don't know. Maybe the cable's old. The cable is brand new. The first time I use it, the cable is this second. It's brand new cable. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really weird. That's really weird, man. I'm sorry.
With technology and especially networking, it can be such a compiling problem. Like, a little on this device and a little bit on this device makes for a big problem. Whereas, like, you're just using the Wi-Fi and the laptop, that's the easier connection. Mm-hmm. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, I'll just keep it this way then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I, once I got my internet back, well, actually, okay, so like I said, it was out for a few days. So in the time that I didn't have any, I had to watch things that were, you know, on a disc. And I was like, well, I was just like working around the house and doing stuff. And I was like, well, I'm going to put a few things on. And you know what I had never seen? I'd never got around to it. I always wanted to check it out. And it's weird that it didn't get a Blu-ray of any kind, but I have just the DVD. So I popped it in and I have to say it was one of the funniest things I think I've ever watched. And I've been told about it so many times.
Oh, I can't wait.
Finally popped in. Nathan, for you. Did you guys ever watch that show?
Oh, my God.
Okay. I've been told about it forever. And I watched, I think, one episode where he's, like, trying to do a tightrope or something. And it was okay. I thought it was all right. But everyone I told that to was like, oh, that's not that great of an episode. But I watched a few other episodes, and it was legitimately really good. Like, I should have watched that sooner, and I felt I honestly felt bad watching it in that way. Like, I felt like I was behind the times. So, anyway, it was as good as everyone had said it was. I watched the one where he was trying to make a yogurt place more popular by adding a shit flavor.
This sounds really funny.
He did a rebate for he brought gas prices down to $1.75 and added a rebate where you had to climb a mountain to get the rebate back. I don't know. Anyway, it was great. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
Did I lose everyone?
Didn't he write for that new Ollie G show?
For Who Is America? Yeah, he worked. I think America? He worked on that. Yeah.
I think he wrote my favorite part where they're trying to build a mosque in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they want to fortify it to protect everybody inside. So they want to put, like, gun turrets on it and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That I've never was seen like, I think you, that was my favorite bit.
He's really funny writing.
Yeah. I think that was my favorite bit in that whole show for sure. But anyway, so that's all I had to say about that. That was really
good. I knew it. I did a stream recently, and yesterday, actually. It depressed me. I watched The Love Guru, and...
Depressed you?
This isn't a bit. I want to make a sincere apology to anyone who watched that movie with me. I'm so sorry how bad that movie was. It, like, bugged out for the rest of the day. Like, why did I do the stream? Why did we do this? Like, I made watch this movie. It was worse than Cat in the Hat. It was maybe hate Mike Myers to the point where maybe I don't like Wayne's World anymore. It was that bad.
Wow. I didn't expect it to be that bad.
It was such a piece of shit, and it was such an embarrassment that the fact that he starred in it and wrote it, and there's, like, legitimately funny people in this movie. Like, how did this
get
made?
Where did it all go wrong? You're a professional comedian. Where was the misstep?
Every joke was a funny sex joke. And, like, or like every name was like, oh, that's Harry, I felt her snatch. Like, every name was that. Oh. And it's like, not 1 second of it was enjoyable.
It was a
misery. So, I don't know if we'll ever upload the me watching that. I honestly wouldn't because it's so fucking depressing. It's just me going deeper and deeper into hell. But go ahead.
When you picked Cat in the Hat as a terrible movie to comment along with the Twitch chat, I remember that kept coming up. Like, Love Guru was such a part of that narrative, like, you know, after Cat in the Hat, he had to make this. And then is that what led you to want to watch Love Guru with the
audience? I was like, dude, let's watch another bad Mike Myers movie. Did it be fun? Whatever. Like, I've never seen it. And then, like, 10 minutes in, I was like, uh-oh, this is a problem. And then
you're just so boring.
But we're already live. And it's like, well, let's keep going. And but, like, by the end, it was just like, you guys, like,
sorry.
What did I subject people to?
I'm liking this thing, though, with you watching a movie every week. Like, I think that's fun. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to watch. People were suggesting in the chat, like, maybe, like, Windy City Heat next, which is, like, fun movie. Like, it doesn't have to be a shit movie.
That would be good, but is that available anywhere? Well, I think I know one place it's available.
Oh, is that?
I mean, well, whatever. Fuck it. I think it's on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I think someone uploaded it there, but.
Yeah. I tried to do American movie. I thought that'd be funny if everyone else watched it but you, Rocco. But
oh yeah, I almost did. I ran out of time, but I almost did.
Shut up. But it they keep saying, oh, it's on Shudder, oh, it's on Amazon. It's like, it's not on any of these things anymore. Like, I could not find it on any of the things. So
yeah, it has been on YouTube a long time. Windy City Heat.
Windy City Heat. Yeah. So maybe
you
I'll
were talking
that.
About American movie. Sorry.
Yeah, sure, but I'm just saying. So, like, I try to do that, but everywhere I found it was like, I don't think this is a good site to link people to. I think it's a little shady.
Yeah.
But same as our Internet Archive, but I don't know what that is or if that's like a problem linking
that's
people
okay.
to that. Is it?
I thought that was okay.
I can help you with that.
No. Okay. Well, if also my thought is like, I'm going to say I'm watching it on my DVD copy, which is not true. And then they can find it wherever they want to find it, you know?
Sure.
If someone links it in the chat, that's my problem. Yeah. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I can vouch for Windy City Heat. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah. Rocco, it was during the Love Guru, I thought like, I rap stream Evangelion and have me watching that than this. So that's like the depths of despair I went into. Like,
well, yeah, Evangelion's a great show. So, I mean, that's.
Hey, not... I saw a movie this week that everybody should check out.
Mm-hmm.
I think Garrett, particularly, you would like this movie. It's on Netflix. It's actually like number 5 on Netflix this week. It's called The Platform. I don't know if anybody out there has heard of it.
Oh, that sounds familiar. What is that?
I've seen it advertised. It looks like it reminded me of that movie, The Cube.
It is absolutely like Cube meets
I love Cube.
Snowpiercer.
Okay, really? Cool.
So, for anybody who doesn't remember the 90s movie Cube, a bunch of people wake up in like a weird prison where every wall has a door on it. And when you go through a door, it leads to another room. Again, it's a cube with every wall has a door. And some of them have traps and they just move from room to room trying to escape.
Yeah, I forgot about that movie.
Cube is a cool movie.
Yeah.
This movie is similar where instead now two people wake up in a room. Here's the premise of Platform. Two prisoners wake up in a prison with vertical cells. Every cell is stacked on top of one another, and there's a hole in the middle that goes all the way down. And once a day, a platform descends with food on it. The people at the top get all the food at once, and the people at the bottom get the leftovers of whatever the people up above don't eat.
Ooh.
So the people on the bottom floor... People in the middle have to eat a table full of leftovers. People on the bottom get nothing because there's no food left by that point.
Hmm.
That's the premise of the movie. And every month they change you to a new room. So you don't know how many levels are in this tower, but if you're, you know, in the top 10, you're guaranteed food. If you're like bottom, you know, after 150, you're almost guaranteed to have no food. And you're allowed to bring in one item. So some people bring in swords, knives, guns. That's the platform.
Okay. And it was overall good?
Meh, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was good. I didn't like the ending. So whatever. I think it's definitely worth watching. And then you can make up your own mind about the ending because the premise itself is pretty entertaining.
Okay.
Cool.
What was that? I'm sorry. Is that on Netflix or what was that on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay. It is on Netflix. Okay, cool.
It's called The Platform. It's trending this week.
I'll check that out because I do watch a lot of shitty Netflix horror movies.
It's definitely comparable. It's like The Cube, a weird prison, a futuristic prison, and then like Snowpiercer with the social commentary of people on top get all the food, people on the bottom get none.
Is it dubbed or is it subtitled?
You can watch it either way. I put it in the original subtitles. It's from Spain. So it's Spanish.
Oh, okay. That does sound very Snowpiercer. Now that you're now that you're describing it like that.
On Netflix, I started watching a comedy that Garrett recommended, Schitt's Creek.
Oh yeah,
that show is fucking great. Like I had no idea what it was about. I didn't know anything, but like once I saw that it was like Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara as like a couple. And like they have like these kids who is his actual son. Like that show fuck rules. I recommend it to anyone. That's like one of the funniest shows I've seen in a very long time.
It's funny because I feel like that show has been around a long time. And whenever I heard about it years ago, it was kind of like, okay, so is no one into that? Like, no, I wonder if that turned out good. Nah. Hmm. And I feel like only in the last year or two, people have really come around to it. Like, hey, that was a really good show. So yeah, I wanted to check that out. I still haven't. I haven't seen a second of it.
Honestly, I say do just for the fact like seeing them together, like obviously there's parts where they're ripping off each other. And it's like it's just that alone. It's like his son fucking great in the show. Like they did it together, him and Eugene Levy, and then like his daughter's in the show. Yeah, they do. It's fucking, it's so good. So check it out. Schitt's Creek.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Hey, I'm going to take a moment to thank our sponsor.
Do it.
Thanks.
Go for it.
Thank you. Oh, our, hey guys, check out shop.mega64.com for all your merch, all your clothing, apparel, all your media needs. That's right. Shop.mega64.com is picking up the entertainment slack where Amazon may fall behind. That's right. We got it. We actually just put out a couple new items on Friday. They're up for pre-order. They're still up for pre-order now because these items, well, actually, one of them is brand new. One of them sold out at PAX. So we decided to do a pre-order for them. The Transport long sleeve tee and the Fond Memories long sleeve with artwork by Bebo Sloth, who I did not realize had so many followers on Instagram and stuff like that. I did not know until I I was involved in doing all the promotional stuff for this, and Bebo Sloth is huge. I did not realize his artwork's awesome. So yeah. Anyway, these two long sleeves are up for pre-order right now. Shop.mega64.com. I have the Transport long sleeve, and I love it. I wear it all the time, and I was wearing it on the stream the other day. It's great. And the Fond Memories one turned out great too. So check them all out. Shop.mega64.com. And then we always have a 64-hour special. A shirt that's only available for 64 hours after a podcast, and then it's gone. This one is not a pre-order. We're just kind of selling some stock that we have, some leftover stock. We thought we wanted to do this promotional pull for Rooster Teeth. We've got the Last Laugh shirt. We did bring it back temporarily. If you never got one before, there's just a few of each size up. We are, again, this is all in promotion of this killer new Rooster Teeth joint.
We're so excited about it. It sounds so good and so funny that we thought, what could we do to spread the word?
Yeah. We're just, so fucking amped, that the shirt is up there. Again, there's only a few though. And then when it's gone, it's gone. So we just want to let you guys know about that. That, you know, it just seemed like the perfect time, to do it.
It is. It's a perfect time.
Well, I mean, all jokes aside, we have this merch because we made this show, so we might as well sell it.
Yeah.
Well, that okay, that's
you. You know, this will be your way of showing who you support. The real Last Laugh or the imposter knockoff.
Yeah, us. Mm-hmm. Or I'm confused now. I don't know who. I don't know
what. Yeah, I mean, you decide for yourself who you believe is which, but you know, buy our shirt. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's all he's trying to say.
Short of the board.
I wanted to say real quick, going back to the movies and stuff we were watching, when I didn't have internet, I popped in, you guys remember the movie The Wizard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Fred Savage.
Hell yes.
Power Glove.
And Jenny Lewis. Bad.
They put out a really good new Blu-ray of that, Shout Factory did, and man, that movie holds up pretty good. There's like an equal amount of like, you know, they put kind of like a kid's story with some emotional weight to it next to a bunch of 90s stuff that is so out of date it hurts. It makes it a pretty good movie. So anyway, that was I really enjoyed that. Fred Savage kicking ass as usual. I watched all the like behind the scenes stuff. I did not realize they filmed that movie against there was about to be a writer strike or something like that. So they had like limited time to get a movie out. And so they were like, shit, we got to just pull something together. And they wanted to do Karate Kid, but with video games.
That's funny.
And and so they just went to, it was the producer of The Wonder Years. He's like, well, I already know Fred Savage's schedule. I'll just clear the fucking schedule. Like, I'm in control of his schedule right now. So, yeah, we'll film episodes at some point. All right, we're going to do a movie right now. And so he was the guy in charge of all that and put it all together. Anyway, it was good though. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I watched that, and I watched, they put Onward is on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, is that already? I haven't seen that yet.
Did you watch that, Sean? Did
No, not yet.
Okay. It was pretty good. I didn't think it was I thought it didn't look very good, but I thought it was all right.
I heard that the ads did it service is what I heard.
The premise shown in the ads was like it was a lot more of obnoxious of a setup, like you know, what if the, you know, I don't know how, you know, what if all this fantasy shit was modern day, you know, whatever. But the context that they put it in the movie was made it a lot more interesting, where it was like, you know, this is this kind of ethereal world, but people just kind of kept doing things to make things easier. And it just eventually turned into boring ass, like modern society. I don't know. The way they framed it in the movie was a little more exciting. Though I would say it was pretty good, but the thing that held it back, Sean, was Chris Pratt.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
That I saw someone. I saw someone post this. I saw someone post this. I saw someone posted online that 10 years ago they would have cast Jack Black for that part, and I couldn't get that out of my head the whole movie. I was like, his role actually would have been funny if it was Jack Black, but it was Chris Pratt trying to be like
Jack Black.
Yeah, it really was. It wasn't. Yeah, he was the weak point of it. But anyway, but it was overall, it was pretty good.
Yeah, I'll check it out. That's on the list of things to watch for sure. So,
but we're talking like Hollywood stuff here. Derek, do you have something you want to talk about? I understand there's kind of some Hollywood
Emma,
business.
On Demand, great film. Highly recommend Jane Austen's Emma. Check it out.
Hell yeah. Good night.
Oh, shit, no.
was there anything else?
I did watch Emma. It was awesome. If anybody
was it actually good?
I like it. I like Jane Austen. I like period pieces.
Mm. I like what
it was
directed
by. It was the debut of a music video director. This was their first movie, but they've done like Raconteurs videos and
really? Who was the director?
Kylie videos.
Do you know their name?
Yeah. I have it right here. It is Autumn DeWild.
Okay.
DeWild.
DeWild.
Super familiar with that, but that's cool. DeWild. That's cool.
Yeah. No, I think you were referring to the subreddit thread.
Well, yeah. Hollywood, like, you're the insider at this point. You
Derek has
Hollywood.
Sold out.
Derek broke out in Hollywood this week, and we're not... I feel like it's awkward because let me just clear the air. Okay. I don't want to air any dirty laundry here, but Sean and I kind of, you know, Derek broke into Hollywood this week. Sean and I are kind of sitting here like, when's our big break going to be?
Yeah.
And then Derek kind of took, you know, it's kind of like he's, you know, left us behind for Hollywood. I want to know kind of what happened, you know? I mean, like,
you go know, ahead. Feel
so
to
left
me.
Behind.
No man left behind.
Yeah. I wish I could leave you guys behind.
I knew it.
If somebody like Spielberg would offer me a starring role in a new film and I, you know, am a millionaire, I get to move to Hollywood, that'd be so great.
Well, we all agreed that if Spielberg ever cast one of us, we would insist, because we said this back in 2003.
You pinky
if any of us
it.
Got a cast in a huge movie, we'd go, okay, no, this role is now for three people.
Yeah, right. We got to fight for the other people.
So I'm saying, what the fuck? What happened?
Yeah, so there's a thread on our subreddit called Derek has sold out. I wasn't aware that this had been posted until you guys actually told me today before we started this. I didn't know I was a sellout. I didn't know that I had sold out, that I disappointed so many people. Come to look at this thread and find out that there is a 4-second advertisement, 4 seconds floating around on TikTok.
Yeah.
For me, for a commercial I filmed for TopHatter.com. I guess that's why I'm a sellout, because my TopHatter commercial finally came out. Now,
yeah.
was disappointed because I filmed like, I filmed three commercials for TopHatter.com, and all that's come out so far is 4 seconds of me looking excited at my cell phone. I feel like my part got cut.
Yeah. Mm. I just want to frame this. I wasn't on my phone a bunch today. I was kind of like cleaning up around the house before I came here. And when I checked my phone, I had like the Mega 64 Twitter, I should say, had a few tweets at Mega 64 that were like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? And I'm like, oh, what did we do? Like, you know, there were a few that were just like, you want to fucking explain this? And I was like, I'm trying to recall, like, wait, what did we do this week? Like, what happened? And yeah, it was like, yeah, they saw like 4 seconds of you on TikTok. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, where do I begin? Mega 64, we are a group of entertainers and actors, and we have agents. You know, we're in the acting biz, and I went out on an audition. It was actually a self-tape audition for a commercial for something called TopHatter.com, which I'd never heard of, and I landed my audition. So I got cast in the commercial.
Yeah.
I went out and I filmed it. I got my costume fitted, which was ridiculous because they put me in the dorkiest looking costume imaginable. Yeah. I was cast in the gamer role, which I thought I'd be great for. And they were like, bring an outfit. So I brought my clothes and they're like, oh no, here's a zip up hoodie and really baggy jeans and some like running shoes from Walmart. And I was like, this is what you think every gamer dresses like, don't you? Huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. You know, I think we can all relate to that.
So it was like an acting gig. I'm sorry for people out there who are disappointed to find out that the acting industry is not as glamorous as you might think. I would love to be cast in like a Spielberg film. Like I said, put me in the new Tarantino flick. I would be down for that. Unfortunately, what I did get cast in was TopHatter.com online promotions. But that's, you know, every great actor has to start somewhere.
I think I'm just kind of, I just was really, I don't know. I was really confused. I felt like I was, it's funny, Derek, it's not even involving me, but again, like I was getting all these at Mega 64 replies that were like, care to explain yourself? I was like, they put him in a thing. Like somebody put him in a, I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand why anyone would be upset by that. I'm going to be in I think also, too, we have a different context being in Southern California because I think there's kind of like productions here happening all the time. And I don't know, maybe that's like not, I don't know, like I'm going to be in there's a short film. Well, whenever things go back to normal, but like I'm going to be in a short film coming out soon. That isn't, I think we just kind of like do whatever we can to like.
And let the world know who hooked up that arrangement.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely.
Me. Yeah, working in, you know, the film industry here in San Diego, we met a local filmmaker who came and hung out. And now he's going to put Rocco in his new movie. So,
yeah.
Guess what? We're making big moves, ladies and gentlemen. Next stop, Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Sean, what are you? So, what's your project?
What's your project?
I was in that Google Pixel commercial, so I do have that going for me.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was ready to make you feel bad.
So, it was a nationally aired commercial during fucking Monday Night Football. You see me. So, you know, I know what's to be on the silver little screen, as they call it in the hall.
You know what? You did sell out. You guys are both sold out. You know what? Let me tell you, the thing that's coming out that I'm going to be in is indie cred, you know, Google, TikTok, really, guys. So I just want to let everyone out there know I'm all about indie cred and indie respect.
You know, I've been doing never these self-tape auditions for maybe like 6 months. I have a good handful of them. I don't know if I'm allowed to share them anywhere, but if I ever get permission, I would love to upload some of the stupid shit I've had to do for these auditions. I was advertising, like, I got a soap audition recently. You guys remember that soap I had to fucking advertise? And it was the dumbest, like, I had to talk about how smelly your nuts are and how like soap is powerful enough for it.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't even be saying this, but I auditioned for a video game commercial for a very big company, and I needed to be like a children's like birthday party entertainer. It's just videos of me doing stupid shit.
Oh,
maybe those will come to light someday. Maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that was actually my question, was just how that like that auditioning process was or whatever. I mean,
A lot of it is self-tape where they just send you a script and then you record yourself doing it. I feel like I have an advantage because of Mega 64. We've made so many videos and so many advertisements. I feel like I know what they're looking for. I'll just film this how I would make this video. And then they can either be on the same page as me or they'll go another way and I don't want to work with them anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. The times where I'm asked to, I always feel like that is an advantage I have when there have been various things where I've been asked to do some kind of video thing for it. And they always treat it like, ooh, are you going to be, maybe you want to contact someone to help you make a video or maybe, and it's like, bro, like, you know, I don't think this is any big deal, whatever, but I was trying to do something with Knott's. Actually, I want to talk about that for a second, but Knott's, the theme park here in California, I was trying to do like an ambassador thing for them, and that required a video. And I thought I made a pretty good video for that, but I think they ultimately thought, I think it was more a thing for like, oh, we want like moms to do this. so it didn't really work.
That's not you, huh?
I should put that video up at some point. But again, it was like that really helped. I mean, the video part, having experience making videos really does help you with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You would be surprised when I first started like going out for, I don't know, I guess you would call this like commercial work. I had to submit some headshots and stuff, and I thought I gave them real dramatic headshots, you know, like, ooh, I can play a dark character, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, kind of look tough, trying to look dramatic. And then the agent flat out was like, your headshots suck. Nobody's going to hire you. You look like a criminal. Nobody wants to hire you. Like, you're supposed to be selling stuff to people. We're getting you commercial work. Like, you need to look like somebody's neighbor who can sell them nice toothpaste. So I had to get new headshots where I look very like boy next door, like smiley, you know. It was, I mean, it makes sense, but it took a while for me to wrap my brain around like, oh, this is kind of like a different, this is a whole industry. This isn't about like creative expression and being artistic. This is about like actors as a bigger machine. I don't know. It's been interesting to kind of experience this side of acting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's cool. I think that the process, I think doing that kind of stuff is fun. And I think there's definitely value. I can speak, I'm just going to say personally, I definitely get a lot of value out of sometimes doing something that I'm not in control of. You know what I mean? Like Garrett and I did that. We did like a horror movie like a decade ago or whatever.
Yeah, and little fucker.
Has that hit theaters yet?
I don't know if little fucker
it's
hit them.
It's actually right now. It's in theaters there, now. So.
Postponed.
Right now is the only time they would put little fucker in theaters.
It's postponed. No, they postponed it indefinitely.
But, oh, damn. But I really enjoy a lot of times being part of a production I'm not in control of. Like, I really recommend that if you're making your own stuff primarily on a day-to-day basis, sometimes it's, I don't know, it benefits you. I feel like
I talk about this all the time. I feel like when you're directing something, when you're making something, there's a lot of stress to get it right.
Yeah,
because it falls on your shoulders to make sure every little piece connects and can be followed by the audience and is good. When you're an actor, that's not your job. You don't. Even if you worry about whether it's all going to work out and be right, you're not going to be in the editing room to make sure anyways. So like, don't worry about it. It's out of your hands. You just show up. You're such a small part. It's kind of like stress-free. You get to have more fun. Like, I'm just going to be, what do you need? You need a cop? I'll be a cop today. You need a bank robber? Like, I get to pretend to be a bank robber, and then I go home, and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
I think I don't know how I should say this, but we filmed like a TV pilot, not for like a network or anything. Just kind of, we filmed it though, and we were just the actors in it. Me, Derek, and Rocco. Mm-hmm. And so nice, not worry about literally anything but your lungs. It was beautiful. Oh my God. And then fed you, like, this is fucking great. When you're the person who's just there to work and like you're not injuring, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It really is. You see what kind of sometimes, I mean, if you're, I mean, it's one thing to kind of, what am I trying to say? I mean, there's some acting work that is, that can be very difficult and it's hard to get the role and you got to go through this and that. But in the situation we were in where, yeah, we were just in a pilot that we were treated really well. And it was about our, you know, like they wanted us in those roles. It wasn't, we didn't go through some grind to get there or whatever. You could see how that lifestyle is kind of addicting where it's like, it was just kind of like, hey, go be funny. And then like, here's a bunch of free food and stuff for you. And everyone's like asking, are you okay? Do you want this? Do you want, it is kind of like, whoa, shit. Like, I don't know. Like it's kind of like, it kind of, it's almost kind of poisoning to a point because I don't know, that can, that stuff can kind of like, I don't know, you expect, well, more things to be,
I
like
think
that. I don't know.
You can see how like actors' egos can get so inflated.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
The Christian Bale meltdown. It's like, well, how would you ever get to that level on a film set?
Yeah.
But then when you go to a film set, I mean, this is like, actors aren't allowed to help out with anything technical. So if everybody's lifting a heavy box, as a human being, you would be like, let me help you guys. You guys need a hand. But then when you show up on the set, they tell you, like, your job is not to lift the heavy boxes. That's their job. You are the talent. You sit in this chair, have a nice drink, and just make sure you perform your lines really dramatically. That becomes like, I don't know, you start getting this air of like, it's my job to just perform well. I don't lift heavy things. I don't touch the hot lights. That's your job. I don't fuck with your job.
Yeah.
You know, you start getting that headspace. Not saying that those guys are justified to have those meltdowns, but I can kind of see the slippery slope they went down to get to that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've honestly looked through the door crack a couple of times into what it's like to be actually famous. And there are, like, even like in New Zealand, when we were into the VIP room, like, they got us anything we needed. We just like spoiled the entire trip. It's like, yeah, this is like, if this is your like lifestyle all the time, like, you start thinking you're important.
Yeah. It's hard to like keep that stuff in check. Like it's really hard. You need to like, definitely see.
Yeah, but you asked as an actor to show your dick to a bunch of strangers. Think about some of the fucking crazy stuff you would have to do in a movie. You know, you have to cry and expose yourself emotionally. You have to get naked and be out in public, or, you know, be covered in sticky. Just imagine how upset we get sometimes filming out in public skits and we have an uncomfortable costume and people are saying stupid shit at us out on the street. Like, it fucks with your mental space, and that's, you need that to be fully engaged.
That's true, because there are things that happen to me like that and then I'm mentally checked out and it's like, I should have been in the zone just staying funny, but I'm thinking about 8 things right now. And that's happened to me before. What's that?
So I did a commercial that's on TikTok now.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I was gonna ask you, now that you brought up like auditioning and like getting into whatever, everything you're talking about, I think we've maybe have talked about this on the podcast before, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but Derek, if you're in these, let's say agent gets you a, you know, huge audition, cool, it's in like a cool movie, I don't know what it would be, whatever. How far would you go? It's like, oh, by the way, it's a nude scene. Oh, by the way, you know, dick out, you know, whatever. How far are you willing to go? Like, are you like, hey, whatever? Or what's your feeling on that?
I would do anything as long as I trusted the person who was asking me to do it. So if it was like, you know, like I said, my go-to Spielberg, and he says, hey, I want you to be in Indiana Jones 5. I'm directing it.
Yeah.
But you need to be, there's a nude scene. I'd be like, hey, Spielberg, even though it's Indiana Jones 5 and we know that's going to be dog shit, it's Spielberg.
Yeah.
I got to do it. I trust the man. If he says I got to do it, I can't tell him he's wrong.
Yeah.
But if it's like some dude from San Diego State University and he's like, yo, this film is going to win Cannes. Even that, I might, if I really believed in the guy, I might do it. But
yeah.
If it was, you know, if it was Gus from Rooster Teeth, no, I'm sorry. You'll have to use a body double.
Even if you could get on an episode of Last Laugh, you wouldn't.
Yeah, Derek, you could be on Last Laugh.
Derek, might do a show called Last Laugh if you show your dick.
Yeah. I would love to do like real cinema and like make a work of art I believed in. So I would do it, but not for like internet goofy videos, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I think generally I agree, but I feel like, yeah, if it was a project I really believed in, or a director or creator that I really trusted in, there's not much I wouldn't do, but I feel like I still just don't want my dick on film, man. I don't think anything would, that just doesn't.
You know, we talked about that movie Midsommar last week. I said I wasn't a fan of it, but I did like that there was a guy who showed his dick, in the film, and then I read later, he was like, in so many horror movies, the women have to get naked and they're degraded before they're murdered. I thought it was the man's turn to have some of that, you know, put on him. And I was like, that's progressive. That's cool. I like that. So, you know, that's artistic, I think.
Yeah. Sean, how do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I don't care if people see my dick for a good movie. I mean, I have no problem. That's fine.
Cool. I'm not even going to ask you.
Dude, I'll show it now. I'll show it right now.
Nice.
So you're talking like if you get into Shrek 5, you'll show it.
Shrek 5, yeah, I will show it because I owe Mike Myers for he's just so funny that I know I believe in his projects, all of them.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
If they, Sean, they could put you in Toy Story 5, you'd show your dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they only for Toy Story 5. Other movie.
It's Toy Story 5 and Bo Peep's like making fun of it. Are you still showing it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's going on in the background there, Sean?
I just texted back. They're going to bring a different laptop and I'm going to try using this. So they're my support crew. All right.
Switching it up.
I'm trying to change it up. I want to make it so I sound good for at least 30 seconds podcast, or look good at least.
Why? How are you going to switch laptops?
Don't relax, Aaron, okay?
So anyway, you see a little bit more of me. I heard that stuff was going to go up on Facebook. They just told me it was their internet marketing stuff. So TikTok's just the beginning.
If they filmed a bunch of... Oh, I was just going to say the TikTok thing ad seemed like it was just real short. So yeah, I bet... there'd be more of you in these other promotions, I would imagine. I mean, you'd know more than me, but I would think.
I hope so. And no, I haven't booked anything since then. That was like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Sadly. Nobody asked.
Now it's on your resume.
Yeah, tophatter.com.
Hell yeah. Hey, anything hurts. And that doesn't hurt. Like anything you put on a resume, good.
They probably got more advertisement from this podcast than they did from my commercial work.
That is a point. That is a point.
Yeah, maybe they want to like pitch in or something. You know, Derek, you got sponsors. The contacts. Let them, you know.
Yeah, a laptop company or people who sell modems and routers to sponsor our podcast. That'd be fucking sick.
The guys who were filming it, they were just a couple of dudes, and I was shooting the shit with them, and they're like freelance commercial filmmakers, so they were like, oh, we were working on something for Philip Morris last month, which is like a cigarette company, and he's like, we were flying all over the world, Tokyo, Stockholm, just filming people smoking vapes. It's like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
could you imagine that's your job? You fly all over the world, go to fucking Cairo, film somebody vaping on the pyramids. Hell yeah.
If Philip Morris is writing the check, why not?
Yeah, dude, you're probably getting paid very well. Yeah.
When I did telemarketing, I remember there were surveys I was cold calling for in high school, and it was surveys for the Philip Morris Tobacco Company. And they recorded me saying, like, deep sighs after people would hang up on me and being like, fuck, I work for the devil. And they're like, you can't actually say stuff like that. They could still be listening. I was like, you guys record the calls?
They hung up.
Yeah, but they hung up, but they're like, but you know, sometimes you might be incorrect that they hung up and they could still be on. I was like, you're
that's
the devil,
funny. Now I want to pretend to hang up on telemarketers just to hear the crazy shit they say when they think I'm gone.
Click.
Nah, that fucking guy, fuck him. Probably didn't want to upgrade your internet anyways, asshole.
Are there still people at telemarketing jobs right now, do you think?
No. Oh, yeah.
They do it from home, right? Right?
Yeah, definitely.
I've been kind of fascinated by what's going on and what's not at the moment in terms of... Oh, that's Sean looking great. Best you've ever. Yeah, really good. I definitely, my life is definitely not in danger. Thank you for that.
This is like a horror film.
Hey, isn't this Cube? Weren't we talking about? Jesus Christ.
Can we turn that off, please?
Yeah. Well, anybody else talk and it will go away.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you. Kill it with fire.
Kill it.
Thank you. But yeah, you know, which jobs and which forms of entertainment are doing well or not doing well? Because I think I was hearing rumors that, you know, they did WrestleMania this weekend, didn't they? It's happening right now.
It's a two-night event. Right. Last night and tonight.
Okay, yeah. Because I was hearing they think, like, it might have, like, maybe more viewers than ever this time or something. Like, there's a lot of people at home. Maybe I heard that wrong, but... that there, you know, there's a lot of stuff streaming at home is, you know, it's all doing really well. You know, and like Disney Plus is doing really well and all this stuff. But you know what I was surprised by? I had heard from other people who have podcasts that podcast listenership is like in the toilet right now. And I didn't realize because I thought, why wouldn't I would think all entertainment at home would be
commuting anywhere?
Exactly. That's what it was. I didn't even think about that.
I haven't been listening to my podcast because I usually listen like while I'm working. But there's so much other shit going on right now. It's like I'm off my normal schedule. And that's, I feel like podcasts are like your normal routine kind of thing.
That is 100% me. I don't listen to any podcast right now. Zero.
Yeah. Sometime. I can't hear him anymore. Now I can hear you now.
Shout out to the 700 people sticking with us tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say, I listen to some at home, but mostly every now and then one at home, but mostly in the car. Yeah. But I was going to say our podcast, I haven't noticed anything like that on our end because I think a lot of people watch it on YouTube and they're still doing that. YouTube's doing just fine. And in terms of on iTunes... I haven't really noticed anything there either. So I don't know. I mean, I think we're doing okay, but I think some podcasts that's their only presence. Maybe they're not doing so good, but that's not really the case with us.
Also, let me just say that this is not the time for me to listen to murder podcasts. Like I'm so stressed out about everything else. Like I don't want to listen to the normal podcasts. It's like, hey, give me something positive or I don't want to hear it. Cause I'm so done with the negative shit.
I feel like I'm in the minority. I'm like really enjoying the new way society is working now.
Yeah, in what way? In what way?
I think it's so much more conducive to my natural schedule. I don't like I feel like the whole 9-to-5 thing is out the window. Now it's like, hey, get a hold of me when you can.
Yeah.
People can work till 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. Like everybody is free to do their own schedule.
Yeah.
Like we check in with each other and we take care of business and then we split up and you have the whole day to take care of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll be real with you. I no longer feel an obligation to like visit my family. I feel fucking free of family obligations. I'm like fucking loving this. It's so like, this is the best excuse I need to stay in my house, which is my favorite place to be. I never want to leave this place anyways. This is like a dream come true. When this is all over, I hope we can keep some of this and like change society. Work from home. I love it.
Yeah.
I'll get off my soapbox now. All I'm saying is I'm really kind of digging how it's going.
Sean, did you want to? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, like, I feel like it's opposite because everyone knows I'm not doing anything. So, like, hey, can we have a group Skype call or a group whatever? Or just,
what?
Like, I don't want to.
Sean, I mean, you have to discover the power of saying no. I think it'll change your life.
Think you're right. But like, I mean, obviously, like, I want to talk to like, family stuff is fine. But like, there are like other people where it's like, oh, we're doing this big group call. Like,
I did my first group call last night, and it was all, it was like Johnny and Meg. It was all friends just hanging out. My family, like, they keep asking me, like, when's a good time? And I'm like, I'm busy.
And like, you know, I've been Jackbox, honestly, with a couple friend groups, and it's been fun. Like, I've had a lot, but like, I don't know. I hate this. I'm the opposite, Derek. I fucking hate all of it.
Okay. Now, see, my perspective is kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just fucking with you. I'm with Derek on this. I have had way more productive days because everyone that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, normally, it's been like, check in, you good? Yeah, what about this, this, this? Good? Okay, great. All right, and then I go do my thing. And I will say, I totally get what you're saying, Sean, and I see that side of it. You're in a different position than me, for sure. With me, I'm more, you know, I check in with you guys every day, and that's fine, and it's real. You know, we get what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But then when it's time to work, I'm like, I've made this comparison before. I'm like Desmond in the Hatch. I'm like by myself in this big compound and I'm getting stuff done and I'm hitting this on the computer and I'm doing, you know, I'm getting it done. I'm kind of like, yeah, it does benefit the way I do my day to day. It does.
I feel in a way. Like, not only am I getting, I feel way more productive with Mega 64 work. Mm. A few days ago, I took like a trash grabber stick and a trash bag, and I just walked up and down the sidewalk of my neighborhood picking up trash. I feel like I have so much time to like take care of things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like pulling weeds out of my yard. I've like cleaned up parts of my house that have been sitting messy for like 5 years. I feel like I'm finally getting my life together.
The closet behind me has been a disaster for years. Like so embarrassing. And I gutted it. I took out the closet doors. Like I worked really hard on it. But it's for me, like when I feel stressed, I do a couple things and all of it's taken away from me. So it's like, oh, I'm stressed out. I'm going to go take the dog for a walk, like on a hike. I'm going to like through nature. Oh, I can't do that. It's all closed. Okay. You know, I'm going to watch a baseball game and calm down. Oh, I can't. Literally every sport in the world is over. Okay. Like I the things that I personally use to calm down is just all taken away from me. It's, all this stuff has been put on top of it.
You know, I feel bad for people who like sports because my dad got depressed because he's like, all sports are canceled. What am I going to watch? And I was just like, what am I going to watch? That thought never even crossed my mind. Like, too much to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm not into sports.
Yeah. And sports to me is like, I get it's boring, but it's an escape. You just don't think about life. You just watch people throw a ball around. And that's like, it just feels good. And I like it. And it's just, it's all gone.
I get it. It's like a form of entertainment, but it's not one. The fact that it's gone now has like no bearing on my life.
Sure.
So that's why I say I feel bad for people who like sports because I didn't lose that giant chunk of entertainment.
Right. And like, it's not like I have nothing to watch. Like it's not like I'm alone and just like, oh shit, I'm fucked. There's nothing else to see. But like the things that I like the most right now and the fucking Olympics, guys. I mean,
see,
I was so excited.
That's where I'm kind of different from Sean because in that sense, I am bummed because I am running out of stuff to watch. I've been putting stuff on while I cleaned up around like my place today. It was, you know, I've been organizing stuff in my free time, but I have no, I'm really running out of stuff to watch and I can't think of anything else. So I'm
literally
kind of just
anything
rewatching
to watch.
Stuff.
Yeah. We watch.
Can't think of anything.
Rocco, sure, I have a list of suggestions that you will keep you satisfied for a long time. So I'll just feed you films and steady diet of content. Don't worry.
If you watch one movie that Jared recommends before American movie, I will be so fucking.
You should start with Road Warrior. I believe we talked about
that. I was just
going to
say, I just brought home the Blu-ray of Road Warrior. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Fucking damn it. God damn it.
Real quick, Sean, I know you're excited to say something, Sean, but I wanted to say, going back to podcasts, real quick.
Yeah.
It's important to, we kind of brought it up on our, by the way, everybody, if you're watching this, don't forget, we have a second podcast every week for the foreseeable future called Mega 64antine. We're streaming it live on Twitch every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific, and then it's on YouTube on Saturdays. But it's also part of we've also been putting it on iTunes on the regular. Just subscribe to the Mega 64 podcast on iTunes if you want it, you know, on the go like that. Which brings me to my next point. It's a huge moment in Mega 64 history. It's been almost two decades in the making. But after 14 years, the artwork on iTunes for our podcast is different. I know.
Oh, wow. God.
Now, that's cool. Lots of people asking what was the holdup? Why was it a picture of you guys in 2006 for that long? The true story was our podcast was so tangled up in old technology from all the way back then, like the way that we did our feed and the way it was all this stuff was so tangled up in crap that it was actually really hard to change. Just to change that artwork was phenomenally hard. In fact, we were maybe 5 years ago, we were reached out to by Apple. Someone in their podcast division reached out to us to say, look, we want to feature your podcast more. What's going on with the artwork? We can't feature it. Like, it doesn't meet the criteria.
Looks shitty.
It was basically like, it doesn't meet the resolution criteria or anything that our podcast demand now. Can you change that artwork? Like, we'll try to help you. And it was such a convoluted mess that Apple gave up.
Hey, and close up on me. Brian, can you do that? Figure out resolution.
It looks like peanut butter's all over.
Resolution problem we had.
What's that?
No, I'm gonna say that we figured resolution completely. We got cracked the code. We figured it all out. All solved. So we did it. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Thank you. You can lose a close up on me. Thank you.
We had help from. I want to give a shout out to our friend Aaron. You've seen him. We bring him on he runs a lot of website stuff for us. He's been on the Black Friday streams that we've done. You know, he's always trying to keep the servers running in case anything melts down. I want to say shout out Aaron. He cracked the code and we figured it out. There's a lot of stuff that they don't tell you about Apple's podcast feed and all that stuff. That really the information is not out there. We had to solve like 80 problems. He helped do it. So shout out Aaron, you rule. But anyway, it's solved. So from here on out, now that we've got this all fixed, we are going to get, I know a lot of people have been asking for this. We're going to get the podcast on all the other services. It's going to be on Spotify soon. It's going to be on, you name it, it's going to be on there. You're going to be listening to our beautiful words coming out your radio. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep you guys posted on that. So I just wanted to share that momentous occasion.
It's a big deal. I've asked that question. Can we change that image like probably over 1,000 times? The fact that it's changed is I'm very happy.
Yeah.
It still looks terrible. I'm gonna find a better spot. Don't worry. I'll be back. Sorry.
I hope this is Sean's gimmick just forever. I'm never gonna get tired.
I don't
of
understand
this.
Why he keeps switching and moving around.
I don't know.
Maybe. Quite interesting. He's in a hallway now. Ooh.
Anyway.
Sean, say something so we can follow you.
Okay, I'm outside now. Is it better? I'm holding this laser
pretty good. It's okay. It's pretty good right now.
Okay. See, why? It makes no sense. Sorry. This is not what I want. I'm embarrassed. This is embarrassing.
Derek, Sean, why don't you ever go outside?
The opposite of what is normally true is what has been true for you. So I would say, Sean, go further into wilderness as far as you can go, and then the connection will be perfect.
Get farther away from your router. I think you got to get farther out.
It's too strong.
It's
too
good. Opposite everything. Go into, find a forest, find a creek.
Hey, okay. Can I confirm too that the logo has changed now? Oh, I'm not full screen. I just looked at my Apple device and the logo is now changed. Congratulations, guys.
Oh, thank you. No, that day.
Are we looking at security cam footage? What is that?
Sorry. I'm just trying to find a spot. I'm sorry.
Holy shit. I don't think your Wi-Fi works outside.
It works outside. It does my bedroom. I can't.
Sean, you gotta get across the street. Like find a basement or find a
jump in a bush.
Yeah. I think that's what's gonna take.
He's not allowed to bad. He's under lockdown. Right?
Well, we can probably wrap this up. I guess it's been a long enough show.
We're already in the after show, I thought.
No.
Oh, we haven't even started.
No, haven't even begun.
Well, let's wrap it up then.
Let's
thanks again to everyone watching. This has been another Mega 64 podcast in a weary world. But we brought it together. Garrett, Derek, and Sasquatch have all shown up on camera.
Oh my god.
And I couldn't be more grateful. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Our gracious host.
Stick around. We're gonna do an after show for like a half hour, maybe. Yeah. I'll be on for half hour at least.
Yeah, we're gonna do an after show after this, but I wanna say thanks to everyone for watching and sticking in there. Hanging it.
Yeah.
So anyway, any cool like final thought to end it?
Yeah. Hey, check out. I'm gonna do a backflip on the trampoline.
Okay, backflip. Is that cool? Here it comes.
Whoa.
Okay. Brian, close up on me.
Close up on. It's kind of dark.
All right, close up on Sean. Derek, you maybe want to count it.
All right, let's do a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Fuck it.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of, that would have been cool if I was like,
good night.